You're listening to the World's Team Podcast. It's not just America's team, Cowboys Nation. It's the world's team. Now, here are your hosts, Paul Stewart and Mike Poland.
How about them Cowboys?
We're back. Yes, folks, welcome to another episode of the World's Team Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Network and sponsored by Cowboys Experience for the ultimate game day experience with stadium tours, game tickets, meet and greets, all the above. Be sure to go to www.cowboysexperience.com and use the discount code THEWORLDSTEAM. I am your host, Paul Stewart, and joining with me, as always, is Mr. Mike Poland. We do need to apologize. We had a little bit of hiatus because of the World Cup. I was unavailable. I was there, like, celebrating and also crying for Scotland.
Yeah.
As Scotland was in the World Cup for the first time in 28 years. So I really wanted to really take part in the experience of the World Cup. And Mike, yourself, you've been really busy with other projects, but we're back. We are back, baby.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, it's not just the World Cup has been on. World Cup has also been on, ironically, or maybe not really, but when it's like the quietest period of the NFL, OTAs, rookie mini camps all done. Now we're waiting for training camp Oxnard to begin.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, mate, like the past couple of weeks has been an absolute whirlwind. Like, I think that's the first time I've been to Texas, and obviously going to Miami for the first time.
Yeah,
it's not Cowboys related, which was really weird for me. Like. Like, because I was there in the summer, got a little bit of color. I still look very pale.
You're Scottish.
Yeah. Still pale in some standard, you know. But I had the time of my life. Met some amazing people in Miami and had a fantastic time in Texas. Catching up with some old friends. Catching up with my good friend Shannon. We went out for dinner. We were just having a good time catching up and just kind of reliving the days when we first met back in 2014 in London.
Yeah.
So that was good. And he says hello, by the way. He says hello.
I know. I miss Shannon. He's always a good laugh. Especially, the last time we went out with Shannon was, I know we can't talk about it on air. It was interesting, we'll say.
A lot of beverages were drank that night, that's for sure. But yes, folks, we are officially back. The World's Team is officially back. And what a perfect time, as the Dallas Cowboys are just about to start training camp. Basically, for like a week on Monday today, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, like, we're just over a week, basically. Essentially, they get into Oxnard at the end of next week, and then things will slowly work its way. You get the usual thing, the press conferences, the Jerry show to begin with, and you get all of that. We get medical updates, which is quite important. Although I would say on the medical front, it's quite interesting that for as long as I can remember, we're going to training camp pretty healthy, to be honest with you, which is a good thing. Which makes a change. We get all of that coming up, basically. But question for you, though.
Oh, okay.
I know this is going to be going out after it happens, so it's kind of like we're shadowing backwards. What's your predictions for the World Cup final?
I've got Spain winning the World Cup 2-1.
Argentina have been getting a lot of help from the referees.
That's the reason why I'm going for Spain. Spain have been the most consistent team in this World Cup. Like, and as much as I appreciate Argentina, like, doing the business the other week there, like, I'm sorry to my fellow Brits here, but it's just the friendly banter side of it. But Argentina have had a lot of help. But anyway, like, I've got Spain winning, but we're not here to talk about the World Cup, who it will make. We are here to talk about the Cowboys. But what the way to start off? So as we just kind of mentioned, the Dallas Cowboys will be arriving in Oxnard a week on Monday for the start of training camp. And what way to do that? Me and Mike are going to do a two-part series of camp battles. That's what we're going to do here. So Mike's got a list of camp battles, which I'm really excited to talk about. Very interesting. Oh, and your phone is going off, and so yeah. was mine there. So was mine.
I know. Probably the same person.
It was our good friend Lauren. Anyway, let me just unmute that microphone. Yep, there we go.
Yeah.
Oh, good now. But yes, so we're going to be doing a two-part series of camp battles. We're going to have our discussions. What do we think the outcome's going to be? What are we expected to see in this year's training camp? So, but first off,
this is probably one of your favorite ones, which is why I put it first.
Yeah, this is my favorite. But for this episode, for part one, this is my favorite. Ryan Flournoy versus Dallone Bland. Now,
interesting.
Now, for me, Mike, this is a big year for Ryan Flournoy. I know he is going to be pretty much wide receiver number three. We all know that.
Yeah, yeah.
But he has so much upside for him going forward. Like, if he can outperform the likes of George Pickens, etc., he could be your wide receiver number two for the future. He could be.
Yeah, going forward. I mean, like, I've said Ryan Flournoy, Daron Bland. I mean, the expectation is, you know, they're going to try and line Bland up in the traditional position on the outside as he did last year. But I do feel Bland is better when he plays from the slot.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I mean, when you look at it, it's kind of like, well, who are you going to put on the outside? All depends. This is like the pre-training camp thoughts.
And not just that. Like, I just love Flournoy's physicality. He's like, for a guy his size, he's very physical. And I had the pleasure and honor to sit with Brian Broaddus on a Doing All Right podcast with Clown Global Media. And big shout out to Brian Broaddus for having me on. Thank you for having me on, dude. Like, honestly, it was an absolute honor to be on the show.
I messaged him and I said, I hope he was behaving. And he said, nope.
Typical. No, but it was an absolute honor. I saw Votch, I believe was it Greg Ellis that was on before me?
Yes, it was. It was Greg Ellis.
But unfortunately, I missed the opportunity to meet him. But also a big shout out to the guys at 105.3 The Fan, Shan, RJ, and Bobby.
Zach.
Unfortunately, Zach wasn't there at the time.
Okay.
But he did message me. So big shout out to you guys. Thank you again for having me on. Let me share my experience about the World Cup and talk about the Dallas Cowboys. So you guys are the absolute best. But anyway, back to Ryan Flournoy.
Yes.
So me and Broaddus were talking a little bit about this on the Doing All Right podcast, and I had a lot of good positive things to say. Like, basically kind of what I just said just there. Like, he's got so much upside. He's got that physicality. Like, and he's got that dog mentality, which I love about him. And let's not forget, you did the racks. You managed to generate his rack score, and coming up when it comes to doing the draft, he had one of the highest rack scores we've ever seen from any wide receiver in recent years.
I mean, in college, you know, you could see most certainly the athletic traits. You're seeing it now as well. What I think makes this battle interesting. Daron Bland, obviously, he's trying to come back from a down season last year. Ryan Flournoy, on the other hand, he needs to work on route running and separation skills. So when the two meet, it will be interesting to see who's got the track, who's developed their skills over the off season the most.
See, this is where I slightly disagree with you on this one, and it's no shame.
Disagreements.
But I think the route running is fine. It's the opportunity is the problem. Chris has been pushed. Like, whenever we do see Ryan Flournoy on the field, he has been a bit of a presence. Like, he has been very secure and like catching the ball, being very secure with it. I don't really recall many drop passes, if memory serves me right, but it's just the level of opportunity. Because he's behind Lamb and Pickens, it's just kind of like, you want to see more. You really want to see more of Ryan Flournoy. And I think with this year now, obviously given with Pickens on this franchise tag, essentially, like, the likely case scenario, and I don't think Dallas will, is extend Pickens. Just from a financial standpoint, I just don't see that happening.
I mean, personally, they may tag him again. That's the only thing I can think of.
That might actually cost more than possibly doing your like doing a whole new contract, but potentially. Who knows?
Depending on what goes on in the league. Yeah. I mean,
But that's a different discussion for next year, really.
Yes,
But with Lannoy, it comes to his route running, especially when he's playing like on the slot or even going in the deep route. I think he's really effective that way. Like, he knows how to twist and turn and make cornerbacks really second guess a lot of things. And that's what I really do like about him. Now, when it comes to Flannoy, the number of chances and opportunities is not enough there to really put a really good, solid case study to really assess him in that way. And I think that's where you're kind of, this is where I'm thinking where you're kind of coming towards.
Yeah.
He needs to improve his route running, which could be true. But I think we'll find that out because we saw Ryan Flannoy in last year's training camp. He was one of the biggest standouts. He was he was outperforming even Pickens at times
in camp.
Yeah. So I just think give him the ball more. If Flannoy's open, give it to him. That's what I'm saying.
I think what makes this one interesting is Flannoy getting into the stem, his acceleration is very interesting. But what you've got on the other hand is we all know what we were there when he broke the pick six record.
Yeah.
His veteran.
Thanks, Kevin, 2 years ago against Washington.
Yeah. 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 We was there for that. So, you know, you look when it comes to Bland, it's the anticipation, it's the able to read the play, which is why he's able to intercept the ball so much. So, what that means is if Flannoy isn't crisp enough in his route running, Bland is going to exploit that. Mm-hmm. But what we're looking at is between the two, where are these levels at? Who's got the upper hand on who? And that's going to be quite telling on what goes forward beyond training camp.
Well, so on a base level, as it stands right now, Bland's got the upper hand with experience,
I would say so. Yeah.
But there could be a big swing in that. That's where I think, what could potentially happen.
Yeah. I mean, basically what this is Flannoy able to show and be able to produce, which means he's going to get more opportunity?
Yeah.
Or is it that Bland is able to reclaim his position as the number one quarterback?
Yeah, because that's the thing with Bland, right? Ever since he got the new contract, we've not seen that same level of Bland. And I know injuries
have played his part.
Played a big, massive factor when it comes to Bland. There's been a few Cowboys fans out there. It's like, why don't we just trade him away? I says, well, who do you replace him with, etc. So, but this is the year where this is a massive reset. New defensive coordinator with Christian Parker, etc. This could be the best blessing the Cowboys have got. And we will find out in a week on Monday going forward.
Yeah, it's a fantastic battle. I think that's going to watch certainly tests where both players are from last season. Who's moving along nicely? Who's got the upper hand?
Now, in terms of moving of potential upside, is the next Cam battle.
Yeah.
Now, me and you were very surprised that we didn't do any research on this player come to the draft process, which is Anthony Smith. And we've got a Cam battle with him between him and Devin Moore.
Get rookie on rookie.
Rookie.
Yeah. So this one is interesting. More because we need to really, most of the wide receivers we know quite a bit about. Anthony Smith. So we know wide receiver 1, 2, and 3. We kind of feel confident in what we've that it's going to be those three. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beyond that, we kind of you look at all the names and go, I don't know. Yeah, it's quite unsettled. Cornerback position, very unsettled as well.
Yeah,
so there's a way that Devin Moore could work his way into the position group, same as Anthony Smith. Where this battle is all about is where do they position in both of these groups? The way to find out is make them lock heads, go up against each other.
Yeah, do it on Let's seven on six, yeah, 7-on-7. Mm-hmm. There's no defensive line. You're basically just playing all coverage and those type of drills. That's where you really will get to see the battles with wide receiver and cornerbacks and that element. So that's one thing to really focus on if you're going to be watching the footage from training camp is the 7-on-7. So that'll be very interesting to see.
Yeah, definitely as well. If when we get into red zone offense, because this is where I feel a lot of people think he's going to thrive the most. But here's the thing. You've got a guy who's 6'2", long arms, great long speed. So you're like, there's a beautiful red zone target for Dak to play with. But Devin Moore is the exact same. He's got great get off, good back pedal, tall, long, lanky arms, good length. So it's kind of like they're going to test each other, most definitely when it comes into the red zone. So it's like, is Smith going to be able to get separation in that red zone and really shine? Or is Moore going to be able to lock things up? And I think it's just a brilliant place to see where both rookies lie when they lock heads against each other.
Yeah. So where do you have the baseline? Who do you think's got the upper hand in this one right now when it comes to these two?
I'm going to go with Moore.
Yeah, I agree. Feel.
Yeah.
Like, I think, because we're...
I know more about Moore.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, we're kind of just going based, like, when we've looked back at Anthony Smith's career at East Carolina, and it looked really impressive. I was shocked. Like, we didn't manage to get round to a wide receiver in that type of in that conference, the American Conference.
Yeah.
And I mean, we would expect it maybe a wide receiver from Texas or something like that. Like, one of the more bigger name schools, like, so he's more of a fringer. But no, this guy was more or less the number one guy in East Carolina, and we didn't really do much on the American Conference at all. So when we look back at the footage, we're like, all right, okay, well, I could see why we did that. It makes perfect sense to give you that different option at that wide receiver position. So could be one of those guys. Could it be a Camp Bodick? We just don't know yet. So we just don't know what the baseline with Anthony Smith is. But whereas Devin Moore, he's proven himself at the college level, really solid. He's got the height, he's got the long arms, etc. Like, I mean, it'd be very interesting to see, but I have to agree with you. Like, I think in terms of the baseline, I've got to have to give the upper hand to Devin Moore.
Yeah, and we in college, we've seen him against tall, lanky receivers, and he's won the majority of those battles. But I think whatever happens between these two when they battle each other, whichever one shines begins to make a fast track up that the position depth chart, depending on which one is making the most splashes, essentially.
All right. Well, now, kind of moving on to our next camp battle. We're now switching it up now. Right, we talked about wide receiver, cornerback. We're now moving back into the trenches, Mike. So we've got rookie on rookie again with Drew Shelton versus LT Overton. Now, I love this one, right? Like, and I'm going to go straight off the bat. I'm giving the baseline to LT Overton in this one.
Interesting, yeah. Both fourth-round picks, which is interesting. So they're both in the same round. You feel with Shelton, they're kind of like trying to get a feel that he's a left tackle at the moment to the right, kind of like covering their bases with Terrence Steele.
Yep.
There's some talk about him moving into guard. I mean, they're really just tinkering around with him.
Yeah, they're kind of looking for that kind of position flex in a way. I think the key factor is, like, our offensive line coach, Connor Riley, has been after Drew Shelton for years, trying to bring him to Kansas City, like Kansas State. Like for years, but obviously you're up to the road to Penn State, etc.
Yeah.
But because if you remember, Mike, you had him on the phone call when he got drafted. He's like, I finally got you here, dude. I finally get to work with you. So, like, for Connor Riley to make a praise like that, like, he obviously sees something in Drew Shelton. Now, whether it's the coaching, it was the problem back at Penn State where people are a wee bit, whatever that may be, to how he did perform in college. I mean, he showed some good signs, especially in the pass protection, but it's the run game I'm a wee bit subject to.
And that's why it makes this battle so interesting with the LT Overton.
Yeah.
That you look at the physicality and the strength and the size that Shelton has in terms of what Overton does best, in terms of being the big side in physical presence that can come in and disrupt the passing game. You see between two rookies that they've drafted where, right, let's see who's got the best technique for their respective positions when they go up against each other in the passing game. Because I think whichever one begins to win this battle, when they go up against each other, is going to end up getting a nod for rotational role on this depth chart. Because Cowboys need offensive line rotation pieces, without a doubt. They kind of got in their mind where their front five are going, depending on where they decide to shift a couple of players, and the Guyton experience conversation is a whole, you could do a whole episode on that.
Yeah.
But this one in particular is interesting because you can get a direct comparison of strength on strength, weakness on weakness between the two rookies that you have that you took in the same round of the draft and see who can be trusted with a rotational role depending on how these pair go up against each other. It's a great litmus test for both players when they line up against each other.
Yeah, and the reason I'm saying Overton is just because of his tenacity, especially when it comes to the run game.
Yes.
Like, he knows how to get low, he can eat the double teams. Yeah. Like, he may be
He's a big guy,
but I was going to say he may be slightly undersized to play the free tech because he was playing defensive end primarily.
Yes.
But to move him inside, and he says, yeah, I'm going to add more weight on. So, but man, I believe what he's, 6'4", 6'5", and you're going to add more weight to him? Oh, yeah. Like, bring it on. Bring it on. Absolutely.
To make him a 3-4 defensive end, yeah, you've got to be the chunk in the middle.
I think over time, you will add, an extra increase of, 15 to 20 pounds of solid muscle.
It needs to be good weight. It needs to be solid weight.
It has to be good weight. He needs to add more weight to really, if he wants to be that effective. Because we saw that with Tyron Crawford, he would lose, decrease his weight regimen and stuff like that to play more defensive end for the more speed, but he would actually add it more back on if he wants to be played. So he had that weird, he was a defensive end 1 year, defensive tackle the other year, and he was switched back and forth. It was it was confusing at times, but
yeah,
I hope that's not the case with Overton. Keep him at that position.
I mean, that's the thing here is, Shelton can challenge Overton.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, if he can maintain leverage and maintain technique, and as you mentioned, run, if he can hold against the run, that will challenge Overton. That's the big one. Shelton, he's got to be able to show that his physicality translates into the NFL, and it's not all boom, boom, boom. And that's where Overton can do that. If he can turn his athleticism and size into constant disruption, then all of a sudden then he gets an interesting look at, okay, maybe we can put him into a rotational role. Let's see how this goes in training camp and in preseason games.
Absolutely. And like I said, as I kind of mentioned, but Connor Riley, he will work. He will make him work. And obviously he's up against a stiff test to really trying to get himself into the picture with this offensive line. Because obviously we brought in Bass back, etc.
Yeah.
But obviously the big one's going to be Terrence Steele. Can he compete with that? But that's a question that's the one for next week, ladies and gentlemen. So we're not leaving that one. But the final one, and I think this is quite, I really like the fact you left this one to last, Mike. Brevin Spanford versus Jalen Thompson. And when I'm looking at your notes here, I have to agree. Obviously we've got Jake Ferguson, which is great, but it's the Luke Schoonmaker
question mark. Yeah.
Yes. Now, can Spanford actually take that elevation and be tight end number two? Quite possibly, because we haven't got enough from Schoonmaker, my personal opinion. There's been moments where he looked good, but hasn't been consistent. He's been injury plagued for quite a lot since he's joined the NFL. Spanford has been showing a lot more diversity when it comes to the tight end position and even from the blocking side as attack end. Tight end. Oh, yeah.
You got it.
So, you know, you know what I mean, though. But for me, Spanford has all this upside for him. Like, he showed moments last season. Like, remember the bootleg pass last year?
Yeah.
Our good friend Cowboy Chris called that when he was up in Canada with our
Yeah, that's right.
I couldn't, like, I was like, the wizard, pretty much. But and he actually commented on Chris's video because of that. Like,
he's like,
how the hell did you know that? It's just like, well, you can tell by the play. But and he's right. Like, that's how the play was set up. It was going to be a bootleg pass to Spanford, and Spanford ran the perfect route in that play. Like, when it comes to Schoonmaker, like, it seems he's always like that one half step out of position to receive that pass if he is there. So for me, it has to be Spanford. But the battle with Jalen Thompson,
now
that's very interesting to me, because Thompson obviously really brings a lot to the table here. But if I'm going to give a baseline, I'm going to have to give it to Spanford. I really have to.
Okay, so you're taking the young athleticism over the veteran presence.
Oh, 100%. I am definitely doing that. 100%.
I mean, here's the thing. We were all talking about it last year, that when Brevin Spanford was in the red zone, you watch him run those seam routes, all of a sudden we were like, ooh, he opens up.
When was the last time we had that? Jason Witten, pretty much.
Yeah, with Blake Jarwin. Remember Blake Jarwin?
Blake Jarwin. Yeah. Oh, I really did like him back in the day, but again, injuries, man. It sucks.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, all of a sudden we were like, ooh. And so Spanford does offer something extremely different. Big guy as well. Over 260 pounds, you know, 6'6". Huge red zone target. So that is interesting. But you've got, when he's up against Jalen Thompson, you've got veteran savvy along with versatility. So that will really test Spanford, because Thompson would have seen this already and seen it time and time again. So can the veteran presence cover Spanford's ability to basically break and shake? That would be interesting. It's a very interesting battle to be seen.
I agree with you in that regard. I think Thompson will cover Spanford very, very well. But the reason why I'm giving it to Spanford is his physicality.
His physicality and size.
Like if you were just to put two guys together and just do like an Oklahoma drill, there's going to be one winner in that, and that's Spanford.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
6'6". Yes. He really is towering over Thompson to a certain degree. I believe what Thompson's, what, 6'1", 6'2"?
6'2", I believe, yeah.
Like, so yeah, you've got still even got 4 inches more on him, but not to mention the arm length as well. That plays a massive factor as well. So, like, the only way to really kind of stop is really try and get the heads up and the jump in anticipation of the ball intercepting in Spanford's hand. Yeah. Now, that's the battle.
The anticipation is where it's
that's,
at.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But with Spanford and, like, how he's kind of progressed even from last year, I like to believe and be very optimistic. You know me, I'm very optimistic. I'm going to go with Spanford in this one.
Okay. I'd probably go with Spanford as well, right? But it comes with a very big italic underline, underscore, question mark, hashtag, whatever you want to tell me. Is that, yeah, the receiving side, interesting, but it's the run game. Jalen Thompson, very, very happy playing down in the box.
Oh, yeah.
So what is it like when they ask, because if he's going to be a tight end too, you're going to be having him come in on twin tight end sets. It's going to be a running play. So can Spanford, has he developed and developed and improved on his run blocking? Because Jim Thompson will put that to the test when he's down in there. That's the issue.
Yeah, very interesting. But folks, let us know in the comments about these camp battles. Who do you think will be, who has the upper hand, essentially, going into these camp battles? But like I said, next week we'll be here for part two of our camp battles and bringing you more news and updates on the lead up to Cowboys training camp. And if you've not followed the World's Team, be sure to follow us on all of our social medias, on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all of our social media. And before we do go, Mike, please tell everyone where everyone can find you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter or X at Kenford Cowboy. That's Kenford with a K, Cowboy with a K. And as Paul said, get in there, subscribe to the World's Team. But what about you, Mr. P?
You can find me at I Am P Stu on X and Instagram. All right, folks, my holiday vacation is now over. I'm back to talking about Dallas Cowboys football. As we're kind of talking right now, the World Cup final is currently on at the moment. So by the time this episode comes out, we'll know who the winner is. But we wish both teams the best of luck anyway. But as always, and we're going to have to start saying this also, no Cowboys, no party. Because we started that at the Eagles game.
Yeah, we did.
And the Eagles fans were not too thrilled about that.
And it
works, because obviously no Cowboys, no party is in relation to what I would say about Scotland. No Scotland, no party. Yeah. And if you saw the scenes of the Tartan Army in Boston, you would understand. So there you have it, folks. So we need to get that chant going for this season. No Cowboys, no party. Yeah. But yes, folks, as always here at the World's Team, it's not just America's team. It is the World's Team. We'll see you guys next time.
That's a wrap on the World's Team podcast. Smash that like button and hit subscribe, Cowboys Nation. This ain't just America's team. It's your team. Touchdown. It's the World's Team. Only on Bleav, where real fans live.
How about them guys?